I was sitting in a car the other day, just staring at a brick wall, and I realized that I was posture checking myself for nobody, for no reason, because there wasn't anyone around. No cameras, at least none that I could see. And it was just me and some dust on the dashboard. But I still felt this weird, twitchy need to look correct. And I had this realization that the prison isn't exclusively out there. It's also a neurological squatter that's living in your own mind. Okay, so what the hell am I talking about? So the French philosopher and historian Michel Foucault, who spent probably a little too much time thinking about how we hurt each other, he talked about the panopticon. So if you don't already know what that is, the panopticon is an old prison design where the cells are backlit so the guard can see every twitch of your eyebrow, but you can't see him. Now, the punchline here is that eventually the guard goes home. He doesn't really need to be there. You don't know that he's left, of course. And therefore, you essentially become your own jailer. And you start performing, well, ideally, good behavior because you've forgotten how to be anything else. And it made me think that in some way we're all doing this now. Which means we're living in a society that's basically a giant, invisible human resources department. That also means that we've traded our actual lives for this curated, searchable version of ourselves. So we want to be indexable and be easy for the machine to find and categorize. Because being uncategorized feels like being an outcast. It feels like being a ghost. But the wisdom the system is trying to choke out of you is that the ghost is the only one who's actually free. So the system wants you to be like a glass house where everything is transparent and everything's authentic and shared. But transparency is just another word for easy to manage. If I can see through you, I can predict you. And if I can predict you, well, then I own you. So there's this term that the social psychologist Shoshana Zuboff uses, known as behavioral surplus, which sounds like something a middle manager says right before he fires you. So basically, it means that the industry is mining the scraps of your soul. That's what it boils down to. This is it's the hesitation before you click a link, or it's the way your thumb lingers over a photo of a life that you wish you had. So they take these micro moments of your private human experience and they turn them into a map of sorts. And the goal is to make your future a foregone conclusion. They aren't trying to guess what you'll do. They're trying to build a world where you have no choice but to do what the spreadsheet says. So it's a micromanaged existence where you're basically being cattle prodded by algorithms into these narrow little lanes of self-improvement and productivity. You know, a good little efficient wage slave. But what are we producing exactly? Well, I think the answer is we're producing more data for the people who own these towers. And now we've become a population of people who are terrified of being wrong according to a code that we didn't write. So now, you know, we're so busy being optimized that we've lost the ability to be useless. And, you know, being useless is actually one of the most important things a human can be, believe it or not. A data point can't be useless, only a human can. Now, most of the advice that you hear these days is about living in the light. It's all about radical transparency. Be open, be vulnerable, share your journey until there's nothing left of you but a pile of digital lint. And look, some of that is good advice. I mean, I support being open and transparent and vulnerable to a healthy degree. But Carl Jung had an equally important concept that he talked about called the shadow. Now, these days, you'll hear people talking about shadow work. You hear it online all the time. They talk about it like it's a spa day for your trauma. And it gets treated like it's emotional plumbing. You know, just clear out the clogs and you'll supposedly be a better version of yourself. But that's not exactly what Jung meant. The shadow is like, think of it as the dark basement of your personality where you've disowned everything that didn't fit into a polite, presentable identity. And it's not just the dark stuff. It's not just your trauma or, you know, your spite or your weird, irrational impulses or whatever. It's also part of your power. It's your raw anger. It's your unvarnished desire. The kind of creativity that doesn't care about some target audience. It's authenticity. So the goal of real Jungian shadow work isn't to fix or try to eliminate these parts. It's to integrate them. And, well, here's the unsolicited truth. Integration doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel whole, which is usually a lot less comfortable, unfortunately. It makes you somebody who can't be easily pacified by a like or a nudge or whatever. Now, the modern world, the panopticon, is terrified of a person who's integrated their shadow. And the reason is because a person who is whole is seen as dangerous. You can't bribe someone who's accepted their own darkness. You can't manipulate someone who's no longer lying to themselves about who they are. So honesty and wholeness is the real threat. The modern version of shadow work tends to be more about processing your emotions so you can get back to being a productive data point. Jungian integration, on the other hand, it's more about becoming something so uncomfortably, unapologetically human and authentic that the algorithm's math just stops working. So in a sense, it's about being a glitch. And by glitch, I mean having a conversation with your own darkness that you never share with the world. And so therefore it can't be manipulated. This is a conversation that doesn't leave any digital breadcrumbs. There's no digital trail. It's about reclaiming the parts of yourself that are inconvenient. So the system wants you nice and smooth and frictionless, and it wants you perfectly predictable, and it wants you malleable and ultimately obedient. But you need to stay jagged and be the person who occasionally does the thing that makes no sense to a spreadsheet. So, as I'm getting older, I think about life before the feed. I'm sure some of you remember life before the feed, when you could just, sit on a porch for 3 hours and not feel like you were wasting a branding opportunity or experiencing endless FOMO. So there's a contemporary philosopher. His name is Byung Chul Han, who writes about the burnout society. And his whole point is that we're moving past the stage now where we are being oppressed by some external boss. And what he means is that we don't need a whip-cracking overseer anymore, because we've come to the point now where we've internalized the whip. We've become our own slave drivers, constantly checking our own stats, our own impact and wellness and what have you. So we've turned our existence into something like a 24-hour performance review. And the ruling class wants you to believe that every moment of your existence has to be a step toward some future material goal. You know, stay in the treadmill, looking ahead, never being in the present moment, never really living. It's just another distraction technique. And it wants you perfecting your sleep, optimizing your relationships, your time, your money, your bathroom breaks, and everything else in your life. But really, that's just a clever way to keep the gears turning. Probably one of the most subversive things you could do in this situation is, you know, and maybe the thing that actually breaks the spell here is to be intentionally, aggressively unproductive to this toxic system. Now, I'm talking about the kind of living that doesn't require a payoff. You know, start with small things like just going for a walk without your tracking device. Don't take your phone. Just walk until your legs are tired and you've forgotten what time it is. Have a conversation with a stranger without any ulterior motives. Try to have an honest conversation with yourself. You know, the wisdom that they are trying to bleed out of you is that your value isn't tied to your output. You aren't a wage slave. You're a self-conscious biological accident with a terrifying ability to perceive beauty and pain. And, you know, that alone is more than enough. And the system hates a person who is content with a small, unrecorded, unperformed, independent life. It can't sell a better version of you to a guy who's already accepted the version of himself that's messy and broke or whatever. So, in order to actually live in this mess without completely losing your mind, I think you have to start introducing some healthy friction back into your life, because we're inundated with complacency now. And I'm well aware that we're also inundated with existential anxiety and stress and trauma and so forth. But we're being anesthetized and just numbed into oblivion. I think we should try to drag ourselves out of this so-called comfort zone and do some difficult things, make some difficult choices. And I think we can do this while being aggressively unproductive to the omnipotent establishment. I mean, look, our attention has been hijacked, right? And half the reason the world is in the endless mess that it's in is because of our own apathy and lack of self-awareness. We're not all just helpless victims here. I think we do also need to hold ourselves accountable on some level. Now, the Panopticon survives on your craving for comfort, and it offers you that frictionless, mundane life in exchange for your soul. But I would choose the friction. And I would stay jagged and keep my secrets and put the leash back in my pocket and just, I don't know, watch paint dry for a few minutes. So in other words, I'd start detoxing and retraining my brain. I'd start developing some emotional intelligence because the world needs more people who respond instead of react. The world needs people who think and people who think critically. And meanwhile, the guards are, I mean, they're still watching. And they're going to be watching even more. But I don't think we need to add to this by self-sabotaging and haunting our own lives. I don't think we need to keep ghosting ourselves. All right, well, that's all I've got today. As I always say, thanks for listening.